You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How sweet it is. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. Today's episode on this Wednesday night is brought to you by our sponsors and friends over at the Draft app. That's because it's Draft Wednesday across the Locked On Podcast Network. Download the Draft app or go to draft.com and enter the promo code LO Rockets. You can play a real money fantasy basketball game for free. You'll get a $3 free ticket when you make your first deposit at draft.com or via the Draft app. So the Rockets just polished off a 116-96 victory in Orlando on Wednesday night. Gerald Green led the team in scoring with 27 points in 28 minutes, 7 of 10 from behind the arc. Chris Paul had 13 assists in his 32 minutes. Clint Capella, 21 and 8 in 23 minutes. Ryan Anderson even got going. It's been a terrible month for him in December, but now the clock has been turned to January. Ryan, 17 and 7, including 6 of 12 from the field and 5 of 8 from inside the arc. Really a great night for the Rockets as a whole, even in the absence of James Harden, the first game this season that James has not played. There's a lot of individual storylines that you can look at for this one, and we certainly will in our 3 points recap. But before looking at anyone individually, I want to start with a big picture observation, which is that this is a tremendous win for the Rockets as a team. Because, folks, the final margin doesn't even do it justice. The Magic cut into it a little bit in garbage time. They did win the fourth quarter. When it mattered, the Rockets were up by as many as 28. They were in cruise control, throughout. They were up 15-4 at the first TV timeout. They were up 25-12 after the first quarter. And it is the first time since December 15th against San Antonio, almost 3 weeks ago, that they have had what I consider a wire-to-wire win, one that was never in doubt. And that does so much. You don't have to overextend any minutes. The most of any player is Trevor Ariza with 33. No individual player is extended from a minute standpoint, but they're also not stressful minutes. I would say even though Chris Paul played 32, and by the way, some will say, why did Chris Paul play in the fourth quarter with such a big lead? Well, it's a fine line. After Chris Paul's missed some time, you're also trying to slowly build back his conditioning. But Chris Paul playing 32 minutes, it's not a stressful 32 minutes when you're playing with a big lead throughout. And that just does so much in terms of minutes management, in terms of integrating new pieces or relatively new pieces like Chris Paul and Clint Capella, and then certainly Gerald Green, who was not even a member of this team a week ago. That helps you so much when you are not having to grind through every single possession. And credit to the Rockets, they've had a lot of adversity the past 3 weeks with the injuries. Also, the schedule, with the exception of those Lakers and Clippers games, has not been their friend. That's why I never bought into the 5-game losing streak being as poor as it seemed at face value. But for the first time in 3 weeks, the Rockets did get a big win. Credit to them for that, and I think that's a tribute to their professionalism. They've now, well, they're 1-0 without James Harden, and they've won 2 consecutive games overall coming off that 5-game losing streak. And I think it really starts, more than anything, with that defensive commitment. And one thing that I will say, without James Harden, the MVP frontrunner, 32-9 per game, is he going to be missed? Yes, absolutely. And you definitely don't have the upside potential that you do with James in the game, which you may see on Thursday night against the Warriors when they're just going to be a more talented team than you are right now. However, without James Harden, this game played out like I sort of suspected it would if you listened to yesterday's preview, which is that the Rockets, they were grinding throughout. Defensively, offensively, there weren't that many wasted possessions. Chris Paul, even though he could not buy a shot, he was enormous in this game. 13 assists in his 32 minutes, plus 23, actually had 10 assists by the half. Even though he couldn't buy a bucket, which is 3 of 13 from the field, it still felt like he was controlling this game based on how he was able to probe, how he was able to find the right shooters. And even though it was a slower pace, it was a deliberate pace, at the same time, good decisions were made. The flip side, defensively, you never really saw the Magic with a chance to get in this game. They had just 4 points at the first TV timeout, which was over 7 minutes in, just 12 points in the first quarter as a whole. Did they miss some shots? Sure, and the Magic are not a good team, but let's not make them out to be some complete disaster. They're 12-26 going into this game. There are a lot of teams worse than that. This is not a historically awful team. Even their last 3 games, They lost very competitive games to the Heat and Nets their last two times out. Three games ago, they actually beat the Pistons, a team with a winning record. And again, 12-26. Is it good? No. Are they 5-30? They're not that either. They've been a largely competitive team, and the Rockets from the outset made it clear that this was their game. And I think that certainly shows the veteran leadership. We mentioned Chris Paul, also Trevor Ariza, 12 points, another hot shooting night, 3 of 5 from behind the arc, 4 of 7 overall, 12 points, plus 22 in his 33 minutes. When you have those guys leading the way and Ryan Anderson, when your veterans come that committed to play and you're going against a lesser team like the Magic, you can make a statement early on. And, you know, Ryan Anderson, Aaron Gordon scored 16 points. Most of that came in garbage time. He was 3 of 17 through the first three quarters, and in large portions of it, he was guarded by Ryan Anderson. Ryan brought it with a couple of days off. This was a game where Ryan had an extra spring in his step as well. And so I think this shows you that the Rockets, without James Harden, the upside is limited. Yes. However, I would argue that the floor might even be a little bit higher, because tonight I think you saw an intensity from possession to possession that may not have been there the last couple of weeks. And there might be a tendency, if the Rockets overachieve defensively the next couple of weeks, to shine the spotlight on James Harden's defensive issues again, because we know the vines throughout his career. I don't think that's fair. I'm not going to say James Harden's been a perfect defensive player. There's a few lowlights for him, like there are for anybody over the course of 82 games. But what I think happens more than just replacing James in general, what I think happens when you have a team overflowing with talent with guys like James Harden, Chris Paul, and then you win so many games in a row the way the Rockets did on that 14-game winning streak, 20 of 21, it becomes easy to coast. It becomes easy to think that you're going to figure this game out no matter what, and you might not bring it every single possession. Without James Harden, they know that their margin for error is limited. They know they are not the dynamic offensive team that they were before, even with Chris Paul and Clint Capella in there. So I think you're seeing a more attention to detail paid on the defensive end. And I think that's something that, against lesser teams, and fortunately the schedule is relatively weak the next couple of weeks, which is all we know at this point that James Harden is going to be out, that's something that Houston can take advantage of. Now, the upside without James is limited. Certainly, their odds of beating Golden State tomorrow night are lower than they would be without James. On the balance of the season, yes, you need him in there. But on a very short-term basis, especially if you're going up against teams that you are better than, the way the Rockets did against the Magic tonight, in some respects, especially defensively, I think this maybe help is too strong a word, but there are some benefits that the Rockets can take out of it from a grinding mentality. This just felt like from the outset, watching the Rockets, it wasn't pretty, but it wasn't like they were just careless. It wasn't like they weren't dialed in, even though they started a little bit slow offensively. It was just a matter of waiting for the shots to go in. Every possession, offensively, defensively, it looked like the focus was there, and I think that's what you see and will see without James Harden for the foreseeable future. A lesser team, you lose a guy like Harden, you might see a psychological blow. With the Rockets, it might actually be the other. I think without James Harden, you might see the Rockets, with as many veterans in that locker room, kind of take it as an us-against-the-world challenge to look at the rest of these veterans who, of course, very accomplished quality NBA players. Chris Paul, when he's right, being a top 10 guy in the NBA, and I think you're just seeing a level of professionalism, a level of discipline that I think has the potential to really carry them through this stretch without James Harden, at least against everyone besides just a historically dominant team like the Warriors. Hope for the best tomorrow night. And if you do want a silver lining for that, you could point out that no one was overextended tonight. Nene's not going to play in the back end of a back-to-back. Nene looked better tonight, 10 points, 5 of 8 shooting in 14 minutes. Did leave with a bruised knee, but they announced before the game he wasn't going to play in the back end against Golden State anyway. That's typically not a favorable matchup for him with the pace at which the Warriors play. Maybe because no one for the Rockets was overextended. Maybe they'll be at home. The Warriors are on a back-to-back as well. Who knows? Maybe, you know, the shots go in tomorrow night, and as they sometimes do over 82 games. But big picture, yes, you're going to be overmatched tomorrow night, and that's just the way it's going to be. Fortunately, that's just one game, and the Rockets have a much easier slate, by and large, over the next 2 weeks. And if you bring the professionalism, that grinding mentality you did tonight, led by Chris Paul, led by Trevor Ariza, your veterans, even Ryan Anderson, we'll throw him in there, then I think that's going to generally serve you well as you go through this next 2 to 3 weeks without James Harden. And I'm not going to assume it's more than that until we have reason to do so. Now, I'm going to talk about individual players more in just a few moments, but for now, I do want to pause and throw a shout-out to our awesome friends and partners over at Draft, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. And folks, if you're into that Rockets-Warriors matchup tomorrow night, or really if you're into any matchup across the NBA this season, you really need to be playing draft, because folks, you can put your money where your mouth is, and you can make some money in addition to enjoying these games. And folks, if you want to do that, your chances of winning on draft are literally 80% better than on salary cap sites. That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. You're not getting crushed by the pros. And folks, it's not just me. Literally more than 1 million people have also downloaded the Draft app or gone to draft.com to play. And one of the reasons they do that, folks, it's just so simple. You can play in a real live NBA draft right now. You can get done in under 5 minutes, and you get paid out the next day. Drafts fill out every second. We've also got a Locked On Rockets draft, Locked On Fantasy draft. And even if it's full when you join, there's all sorts of other drafts that are ready and able to be joined and drafted from at any given moment. It's just so simple. The best part of this is that you guys, as my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, y'all get a free entry into a real money draft. When you make your first deposit, they give you a $3 ticket so that you can literally try it out and play for free. That's if you use the promo code LORockets. That's right, you play in a real money draft for free just by using that promo code, and it gets even better. From there, Draft is so sure that you will love it that they're even offering Locked On Rockets listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. So remember, search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with me and other Locked On Rockets and Locked On Podcast Network listeners just by using that promo code LORockets. So jumping back into the show, Rockets enormous winners on Wednesday night in Orlando, now 27-9 on the year, two consecutive wins after the five-game losing streak, now 1-0 without James Harden. And of course, we touched on the professionalism, the grinding mentality, how big it is to respond the way they did emotionally tonight. But in addition to the team component, certainly there are some individual standouts. I would point out that Chris Paul, even while not shooting well, 3 of 13, 13 assists, plus 23 in his 32 minutes, was a standout. Wasn't a great game for him because he wants to put the ball in the hole more often. And no, I'm not worried about that. A guy who's going into the game is shooting 46% from the field on the season, almost 40% from three. I think he's going to be just fine, folks. But he set the tone well, and he set up lots of other guys. And amongst those other guys, the guys who stood out the most, and I'm going to give them the final two spots of this podcast, I'm actually going to start with Clint Capela. I know Gerald Green was the leading scorer. We'll get to him in the final segment. Spoiler alert, I'm already, you know, giving that away. But I'm going to mention Clint Capela first, because to me, seeing Clint Capela, who, by the way, in addition to 21-8 in his 23 minutes, 8 of 12 from the field, had a team-best plus-minus of plus 26, it's so great to see the all-star level Clint Capela. Because when he came back Sunday against the Lakers, 7-7 in 32 minutes, it was a grind. You can see he wasn't happy with the mask that he had to wear with the orbital fracture. He took that off, did not wear it tonight. But in addition to that, it's not just the eye injury, of course, for Clint. He's been struggling with a bruised heel for a few weeks now, and it's just a matter of, is he finally over that? And even if he is, then it's a matter of building back your conditioning, the same reason why Chris Paul played 32 minutes. You still had Clint Capela playing some in the fourth quarter, because I think you're trying to get his conditioning slowly back up to get through this stretch without James Harden. It's, you know, a fine line to walk. Because, yes, you want rest, but at the same time, you know, in some of these games, you're probably going to need Chris Paul, Clint Capela to play major minutes. So that's why you had both of those guys out there in the fourth quarter, in my opinion, even though the game was largely in the Rockets' favor at that time. But Clint tonight, what I really liked was seeing him bounce back from a struggle on Sunday and prove that it was a one-off, that it was a game which, I don't know, maybe it was the mask, maybe it was just a bad night, maybe his conditioning wasn't all the way there. But he was in peak condition tonight against a Magic team without Vucevic that you would like to see Clint just dominate on the interior, and that he absolutely did. He feasted on the interior, actually missed three of his last four shots when it was competitive. He was 7 of 9 from the field in, I think, just 18 minutes. The Magic without Vucevic just had no real answer for him on the interior. Biombo was minus 16 in his 18 minutes. Most Bates off the bench, 1 of 7, really had no chance against the big bodies that the Rockets could throw up against him, especially at his relatively advanced age. But Clint, yes, he got it going. His touch was there. He looked more springy, did bump knees briefly in the third quarter, but seemed to be fine after that. Also had a couple of blocks. One thing that I really enjoyed from Clint, though, and I don't know if it was his issue, Chris, or both, but they got better throughout the game. And that's so big, because without James Harden, Chris Paul and Clint Capela, those are your foundation pieces. This is your bread and butter. It's not isolation ball anymore. It's not asking someone to be the hero, usually James Harden. You're going to have to execute through just basic X's and O's, high-low action, and to see Chris Paul and Clint Capella get that chemistry going, especially when, if you watch the first quarter of this game, for whatever reason, it wasn't there. And I'm not on the floor. It could have been either one of them, but you could just see the timing on the pick and rolls, the exact nature of where the pass was, when Chris wanted Clint to roll, when he wanted him to elevate. They were just not in sync in the first quarter. And you could actually see a couple of times they were visibly frustrated. I don't want to say frustrated with each other. They could have easily been frustrated with themselves, but just with how the nature of it was going. But then the second and third quarter, both of those guys, it's like they flipped a switch. Whatever they needed to discuss, they did on the bench, and they came back in the second and third quarters, and they were dominant, as you would expect them to be against a team like Orlando, now 12-27, that's largely overmatched. Because, folks, Chris Paul and Clint Capella, that's your foundation going forward. That's why I'm actually not leading with Gerald Green. As great as it was to see Gerald Green step up, folks, it's not reasonable to expect that from him every night, especially in this at least two-week stretch, probably 3-4 without James Harden. To get through this stretch with a solid record, you're going to need Chris Paul and Clint Capella to play like the all-star level production that you know that both of those guys are capable of. Chris Paul, we've seen over the balance of his career. Clint Capella, before the injuries, he was there through the first 2 months of this year, and at least for one night, you saw that, both of them individually, but more importantly, those two together, collaboratively. They got on the same page. The pick and rolls in the second and third quarter were perfectly timed. The synergies were there, and folks, that, in my opinion, is what you're going to need to get through these next couple of weeks without James Harden. Certainly, the three-point shooting was there tonight, 15 of 34 for the Rockets as a whole, 44.1%. That's better than they've been recently. They out-rebounded the Magic, even though the Magic are a fairly big team. The Rockets, they out-assisted the Magic. They had a couple more turnovers. By and large, the Rockets dominated this game because they're the better team. But folks, when you look big picture, you want to think, what is the most sustainable? And it's that recipe of Chris Paul and Clint Capella. That is what's sustainable. That's what, even against better competitions, that you hope is going to be there. For one night, it was for the Rockets, and now you hope that they can build on that chemistry as they play, well, a much, much more elevated nature of competition with the Golden State Warriors on Thursday night. Final point, I know a lot of you guys have probably been waiting for this guy to get his due throughout the podcast, Gerald Green. Folks, 28 minutes, 27 points, 9 of 15 from the field, 7 of 10 from behind the arc, 6 rebounds. I don't know what more you can say. It's a joke that he was unsigned as long as he was. It's not going to be easy for him to have a long-term spot in this rotation. Now, certainly, I think he's earned another contract, especially with the James Harden situation going on, and I'd like to keep him right now throughout the year. I'll go ahead and say it. Even after 4 games, I've seen enough that, to me, he's worth a roster spot, even if after Luke Bamute comes back, and if you have James Harden, Bamute, Ariza, Tucker on the wing, it's tough to see Green getting regular minutes, although if Tucker continues to struggle the way he has, I don't think it's necessarily a given that PJ is more valuable than Gerald, although eventually the Rockets expect PJ to get more confident and a better shooting percentage on the offensive end. But Gerald certainly earned enough to stay with this team, and it's just a joke that he was unsigned as long as he was, because in today's NBA, pace and space, to have a guy that has that level of athleticism, you could still see that inside, actually blew a dunk that would have been just a highlight reel top SportsCenter play from Chris Paul. If not for that, he would have been 3 of 5 from inside the arc as well, but you can see the elevation on the shots inside. Of course, he's making the threes. To have that level of athlete and that level of shooter in today's NBA go unsigned, it's just a joke. In my opinion, though, people want to know why. I think part of it is strongly correlated with just how dominant the Warriors are, because you have more teams than ever in today's NBA that are hesitant to take flyers on guys in their 30s. That's why you have, you know, you look when the Rockets earlier this year were looking for that third guard, and you saw these accomplished names, guys like Deron Williams, that were still out there, because you have so few teams that are willing to give roster spots to players of that caliber. Generally, if you're not going to contend, a lot of these teams, they want to gamble on younger players with more upside. Instead of taking the known quantity that's pretty solid, they'll gamble on this young player who is probably going to be worse, but whatever the chance is, there's a small opportunity for him to have a window to be better. And if you're not going to win the title anyway, then that's why you're seeing more teams kind of take a big picture view, just gambling on sheer upside. The Rockets are one of the few teams that are close enough to the Warriors that they can gamble on consistency. And folks, they found a gem in Gerald Green. Is he going to be this player every night? No, of course not. He's not a star. But can he consistently be a difference maker off the bench? Someone you can trust to play with pace, to make open shots, to be the caliber of athlete that you want on the wing in Mike D'Antoni's system, running alongside Chris Paul and or James Harden? Yes, absolutely. And of course, you see the pride he has for Houston. He loves being here. It's a great story. I think that puts even an extra spring in his step every time he takes the floor. And again, 7 of 10 from 3, it's tough to do that against air. It's a good night. That's not going to happen every night. But the Rockets, they found, in my opinion, a legitimate rotation player off the scrap heap. It's a great job by Daryl Morey addressing a need. It might have taken, of course, it happened before the James Harden injury. I think maybe they did it because they realized the Luke Bamute injury was going to be longer than they thought. But you know what? Sometimes building a great NBA team takes a little bit of luck. I don't think when Steve Kerr took over the Warriors that he anticipated all of the guys they had developing into what they are. I don't know if he knew that Steph Curry was going to take the jump to become legitimately an MVP candidate every year. I don't think he knew that Draymond would be a top 10 player. Certainly don't think that he thought the stars were aligned for Kevin Durant. Sometimes, in addition to doing all the right things, which Daryl Morey does plenty of those, you just need to have some good luck and to be at the right place at the right time. And the Rockets, for whatever reason, it's been a week, but that's what they seem to have found with Gerald Green. It's great to see, and of course it's tremendous in the absence of James Harden, because Eric Gordon, he's your starter at shooting guard in place of Harden, but Gordon is a guy who was already playing over 30 minutes per game even before the injury to James. In terms of minutes, what you're going to be looking for are guys like Gerald Green and Briante Weber off the bench to take on a bigger role, and so in game one, to see Gerald Green elevate his production to that level, it's just tremendous to see. No, I don't expect him to shoot 70% all year long, certainly from behind the arc, but right now he's giving you everything that, in my opinion, Rockets fans could reasonably hope for, and I think it's a very sustainable model going forward in terms of how he plays alongside Chris Paul on that second unit. He even has a way early in the second and fourth quarters of giving you a dose of energy when Chris Paul is on the bench, because that's one of the big things you wonder about. In the past, the minutes that James Harden isn't out there, you still have Chris Paul out there, so you don't have those lulls. And when you have those lulls in the past, and that's what's happened before this year when Harden is in the game, it's often because who do the Rockets have that can consistently generate offense? Where Gerald Green is someone, he is able, with his length, with his athleticism, he can create looks. I don't know if he'll always be the most efficient guy, but he's someone that you can at least turn to on a temporary basis to kind of fill those minutes that now are there when you don't have either Chris Paul or James Harden in the game. And, you know, part of it is Gerald Green a superstar? No, of course not. But he's only going against backups in that span anyway. You're going up against the other team's second team players in most cases. So it's a good role for him. He seems to be clicking, and of course he's enjoying it. If you saw in his post-game interview, this guy is Team Houston all the way. Of course, a native Houstonian, was already helping out after Hurricane Harvey just a few months ago, so it's only fitting that this is the year that he rejoins and takes on a bigger role with the Rockets. But I couldn't be happier for the guy. If you saw my interview the other day on Twitter, I talked to him before the Lakers game, his first home debut at the Toyota Center. He was overjoyed to be back here. Of course, talked about his new haircut with the braids kind of put together in the form of the Rockets logo. Just an awesome guy, very entertaining, very humble, just a joy to watch. But of course, now that he's making shots at this clip, a much even greater joy to watch. And while you don't expect it to continue, at the same time, folks, I don't know if you even necessarily have enough sample size for it to be a true regression. Sometimes over the course of a season, you will have guys who get hot for certain limited stretches. And especially if James Harden is out only a short period of time, maybe you get lucky. Maybe you coincide this James Harden absence with a period in which Gerald Green does play hot, does play out of his mind for a little bit. Certainly the competition's going to get a lot steeper when you play Golden State on Thursday night. But for a few games at least, boy, Gerald Green looks really good. And it's not just that he's making shots, it's not just that he's running the floor, it's that he looks so confident in this system. This is a system some guys fit and some guys don't. It's very unique amongst NBA circles, and Gerald Green just seems made for it. There's no hesitation. He just seems born to play and meshes perfectly with how Mike D'Antoni wants to coach his basketball team. And that is so important, because we've had guys who have been in the system for years, and then whatever reason, it just doesn't click like you think it probably should on the floor. This is a guy who from day one seems to get it. He's comfortable in his own shoes. I think he knows his skill set, plays well with that system. He's knocking down the shots. It's not going to be that pretty every game, but first off, it doesn't have to be. Even if he makes just 3 or 4 out of, 10 threes he attempted tonight, that's a pretty good clip for this team at the volume at which it takes. And secondly, boy, if he's hot, which he certainly appears to be after these last three games, because it's not just this game, he was above 50% against the Wizards and the Lakers as well. And if he's on a hot stretch for the next 5 to 10 games, then boy, that's all you need, especially against a weaker schedule, to sort of ride out this James Harden injury. And then hopefully towards the latter part of January, even if kind of the law of averages catches up with Joel Green, well, by that point, hopefully that's when you get James Harden back as much needed reinforcement. So on that positive note, I will wrap up this abbreviated post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I want to keep this one a little shorter because I know we've been running long this week. So much drama, new things to talk about with the Rockets. It's nice to finally, as I said, get a business-like win. First time since that December 15th game against the Spurs, the Rockets were just dominant from the outset, and that's so helpful keeping the minutes down. As I said, no one played more than 33 minutes, and that was Trevor Ariza, so everyone should be pretty fresh. It's tough to do on a back-to-back with the Warriors. That's tough no matter what, but if it's a lot easier if you're able to not overextend guys. That's what playing from in front allowed the Rockets to do on Wednesday night. In addition to that, even the guys who did play 30 minutes, they weren't very high leverage minutes. They weren't very stressful. And so it was a game in which the Rockets could get their timing down, and you could see the rhythm, the reps getting better. You could see, as I said, Chris Paul and Clint Capella, their chemistry getting better throughout the game. You could see Gerald Green playing with more confidence. You could see Nene rolling, had a couple of the nasties. Of course, he's not going to play tomorrow because he's not going to play back-to-backs. Nene's 35. This is early January. No individual game, even if it is, the Warriors is worth that much. Ryan Anderson got it going later on. Also had 7 rebounds in his 30 minutes and played good defense against Aaron Gordon. This was a game, the Rockets without James Harden, if there was any uncertainty, folks, they took control from the outset. They brought the professionalism. They grinded. They did all those little stereotypical things, all those cliches. They made clear from the outset that this was their game. And then the rest of it, folks, they got to work on it. They got, rather than having to be stressed out about it, they got to, you know, adjust to their new reality and see that this is how we need to play. They got to get used to playing without James Harden on the floor. And by and large, I thought it worked well because not only did they win, in my opinion, they actually looked more comfortable as the game went along. So yes, it's one game. Yes, the Magic are not great, 12-27, but they're certainly not a terrible team. You see teams every year that are like 5-30, something dreadful like that. Magic, their last 3 games, they've beaten the Pistons, a team with a winning record. They took the Heat and Nets right down to the wire. Not trying to say they're good, but they're also not dreadful. They're largely competitive, and the Rockets on the road were in control throughout. Just one game, competition's about to get a lot steeper, but I don't think you could ask for much more. And other than the Warriors, by the way, the competition is not going to get that much steeper. It's kind of a break in the schedule. So, long way to go, but as we said in our first show after the James Harden injury yesterday, or after the James Harden injury diagnosis, that we knew it was a grade 2 hamstring strain rather than a grade 1, at first glance, especially if it's on the short end of the scale, you know, 3 weeks rather than 6, then this appears to be a manageable stretch in the schedule for the Rockets. I know it's just one game, but folks, it's about as positive a game as you could reasonably ask for. So before I sign off, I want to throw out, of course, all of our plugs here at Locked On Rockets. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose, or email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, if you're interested in talking to us, asking questions about the Rockets, or becoming a potential sponsor of this program, just as Draft was today. Remember, just search for Draft in your app store or go to draft.com, and you can play for free when you make your first deposit by using that promo code LORockets. They literally give you a $3 ticket to try the service for free. And folks, if you don't like it, they will literally give you a money-back guarantee of up to $100 just for being a Locked On Rockets listener. And folks, I strongly urge you to do that because the support of sponsors like Draft, that's how we're able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do. That's how we're able to make the numbers work by being the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. Also, a few other plugs. As I've said, Facebook, we're going to get some live Q&As going there. Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. Give us a like there. Also, LockedOnRockets.com. That's our new website. You can find, of course, our podcast, but also writing, content from the games, reporting, anything you want to know about your Houston Rockets. LockedOnRockets.com is your source for that. And with that, I will wrap up because, folks, we've got a busy day tomorrow. Rockets not just playing tomorrow, but back at home. It's a nationally televised game on TNT against the Warriors. Right now, the Rockets, as I record this, only one game back of the Warriors in the loss column. Could be tied, not necessarily expecting it because the Warriors are playing the Mavs, but the Mavs are only down 6 at the half. We'll see what happens. But worst case, the Rockets are within 1 of the Warriors in the loss column. Are they outmanned without James Harden? Of course they are, but it's close enough in the standings, and you know the Rockets are going to embrace the challenge. You get the defending champs in your gym. It's going to be fun. You can't be disappointed if the Rockets lose. So you know what? Take your shot and let's see what happens, because the Rockets with Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, that veteran leadership, I think they're going to be ready to go. And even though I don't necessarily expect them to win, I don't expect them to get blown out either. I think they're going to give a pretty solid run at the defending champs tomorrow. So hopefully I'll see a lot of you guys out there and bringing the noise at Toyota Center and making it the jumping environment that it can be and often is for big games such as, well, anytime the Warriors come to town. Until then, though, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your evenings. Have a good night. Once again, a happy final from Orlando. Rockets 116, Magic 96. Rockets now 27-9 on the year. They've won two consecutive games now coming off that five-game losing streak, and they are now 1-0 in their hopefully very short-term era without James Harden. So on that note, have a good night, Houston, and I'll be talking with you again tomorrow when the Rockets take on the Warriors back here in Houston at Toyota Center.